This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Nick Whalen. That is not Jeff Erickson. That's our friend Brandon Kravitz stepping in, as he will be doing for the remainder of the week and into next week as well. We wish Jeff a happy vacation. Brandon, always thrilled to do these shows with you. You always do a great job stepping in for either me or Jeff. So a lot of familiarity here, and looking forward to what should be a very fun show over the next 60 minutes. We got all kinds of training camp news rolling in the NFL. We're going to talk some fantasy in the next segment. Alan Soslowski from RotoWire.com is going to stop by with the rookies he's drafting and the rookies he's avoiding this season. We got the Rocket Classic starting up tomorrow in the PGA. So Len Hochberg from RotoWire going to join us via the Progressive Guest Line. We'll talk about some of Brandon Kravitz's favorite NFL win totals a little bit later in the show. Make sure you are downloading, listening, subscribing to the Prop Points podcast. You can find it on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Just search VSiN, search Prop Points. You'll find us there. You can find all VSiN shows in podcast form, or you can always rewatch over on the VSiN Watch app. Let's talk some training camp news, Brandon, and let's start with a couple players who are going to go 1-2 in a lot of fantasy drafts this year. Both Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs not practicing for their respective teams today. I would not call this a full-on holdout, Brandon. It seems like maybe a soft hold-in as both guys try to negotiate new contracts with the Lions and the Atlanta Falcons. Is this any concern to you whatsoever, whether we're talking about what this could mean for the betting markets or maybe more presciently what it means for fantasy football?
I don't think that the betting market nor the fantasy community should react. I've seen some hyperventilating already going on social media. I know that will surprise you with the landscape of what is usually a very composed outlet of X. But some folks saying, I just took this guy 101, either one of them. And what's going on here? Look, these guys deserve to get paid. They're going to get paid. The Falcons and the Lions are not letting these backs go. They're doing the right thing. They're on the tail end of their rookie deals. They have both hit their prime very quickly, and they will probably have about mirrored contracts to one another when all is said and done, and have the highest annual salary, which right now is Saquon Barkley at $20 million per year. We saw Devon Achane bring in a big time contract just a couple of weeks ago. These guys are both going to get paid. They'll probably get paid quickly. And Nick, this is when you want to pay your running backs. Both of these guys are sub 23 years old. They're both fantastic key cogs to the offense. Pay them now, and then you can have a more serious conversation when they're in their mid to late 20s about, do they get that third contract?
Yeah, get that contract in now before Bashal Tutin resets the market in a couple of years down in Jacksonville. I will be very surprised if either of those guys were to miss any time in the regular season. Let me ask you this, though, Brandon. I'll put you on the spot. If you have the 1-1 in a fantasy football draft, are you taking Bijan Robinson over Jahmyr Gibbs, or are you taking a receiver there?
It's one of those two for me. I tend to be drafting running backs in general more frequently in round one. Definitely if I'm sitting at the top, I either have 101 or 102. I'm more of a Jahmyr Gibbs guy, but I'm not shedding tears or losing any sleep at night if I've got Bijan Robinson on my team. They both have receiving upside. Robinson had more catches than Gibbs last year. I tend to think that Gibbs is a better receiver out of the backfield than what Robinson is. And I think he's used better in that offense. They should get back on track in terms of the Lions. And without David Montgomery there, we could see an uptick in Gibbs and his touchdown production, where he's already fantastic. So he's just a tick higher for me, but the separation, like I would think it would be for most analysts out there, is pretty marginal.
Did have some news out of Cleveland with the Browns making Denzel Ward the highest paid defensive back in the NFL. 2 years, $62.2 million deal, just over 52 mil of that fully guaranteed. So this is now the second time in his career that Ward has become the highest paid defensive back in the National Football League. We will table this one for now, though, Brandon, because I know we're going to talk more about the Cleveland Browns later in the show. Their win total sitting at 6.5. I know you have an early play on that Cleveland Browns win total. So instead, we will talk about another premier franchise, the Las Vegas Raiders, Brandon, who did confirm that Kirk Cousins will at least begin training camp as their QB1 ahead of Fernando Mendoza. No real surprise there. This has been the messaging for Vegas all along. I will say we hear this from a lot of teams when they take a quarterback in the first round. We want to ease him in. It worked for Patrick Mahomes. It worked for Aaron Rodgers. We don't want to overwhelm this guy right away. Usually a team plays so badly that they need to throw the rookie out there to kind of reverse their image midseason. I think that's probably what happens with the Las Vegas Raiders. I will be shocked if Mendoza doesn't play at least a handful of games later on. If I gave you over under 8.5 starts for Kirk Cousins this season, Brandon, what are you taking?
I would slam the over on that. I believe they're being sincere about this. And I know that the franchises these days tend to have much more knee-jerk reactions. They give in to the fans. They themselves want to see what the quarterback looks like that they've invested their future in. I don't think you bring in Kirk Cousins if you don't intend to use him. He was still decent last year, really picked up towards the end of the season, looked more like the version of Kirk Cousins before the Achilles injury. The Falcons won their last four games with him as the quarterback. And I think the roster around him is quietly good enough where he can flourish. The only thing I don't like about the Raiders in terms of really buying stock in them is that the division is so tough. The Chiefs should be back. The Broncos are great. Pretty much every facet of their team, and the Chargers should take a step in the right direction with a healthier offensive line and a revamped offensive system with Mike McDaniel. But that aside, you still have Ashton Jeanty, Brock Bowers. They upgraded the offensive line. This whole thing, it was from day one, Nick, they said ideally Fernando Mendoza sits all year. I saw where one AFC coach said that he might not even be the backup for this team because they're so committed to him sitting and learning from the sidelines that if there was an injury, and I'm talking early in the season, that we could actually see Aiden O'Connell take snaps at quarterback before Fernando Mendoza. And so I go back to what I think is the more preposterous lines out there in the offseason, which is Fernando Mendoza, offensive rookie of the year at plus 425, sitting right behind Jeremiah Love. There's no way you can bet that, Nick. That to me is absolutely unbettable. There's a chance this guy doesn't even play.
Folks, do you want to bet smarter this season? Then you need everything we have to offer over at RotoWire, including our brand new Smart Money tool, which shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff gives you rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Check out rotowire.com right now. Use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. If you put that in at checkout, you get 15% off any RotoWire subscription. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. A couple other quick training camp notes, Brandon. We had the Falcons making a big splash, bringing in Cooper Rush to bolster that quarterback room. That is with Tua Tagovailoa battling a back injury. Michael Penix still not cleared to fully practice. Might not be another month until we see Penix out there. It's starting to look more and more like Tua will likely open the season as the Falcons starter. I don't know what to make of the NFC South. I think you could give me those four teams and tell me they finish in just about any order, and it wouldn't be too difficult for me to believe that. But the Atlanta Falcons are forecasted to be the fourth of the four teams in this division, Brandon. I think the quarterback play, of course, is the number one concern. But where are you at on this Falcons team right now?
Which is reason enough for me to bet them to win the division, which I have done already, because I completely agree with you. You could do a really nice sell job on any one of these teams to win the division. You could do an equally good sell job on any one of these teams to finish last in the division. I like this Falcons roster, though. I think that the team is legit. If you can get around the most important position on the field being a giant question mark, which I understand is difficult for a lot of people, they have some of the best skill position players in the NFL. They'll get this Bijan Robinson thing figured out. Kyle Pitts finally burst back onto the scene after his rookie season. Drake London is one of the elite wide receivers in the league. Their offensive line is good enough, and their defense is one of the most ferocious pass rushes in the league. And they had Jalen Walker with a quiet rookie season. I think he's set to explode defensively. They got a big time coaching upgrade from Raheem Morris to Kevin Stefanski. And like you said, this division is anybody's guess. The thing you have to be able to stomach is that you're not going to feel comfortable at the quarterback position. But I think Stefanski has shown you enough throughout the course of his coaching career that he can overcome that. And Tua, when he's on the field, has been good enough to support productive offenses. I know we've all sold our Tua stock, but let's not forget that the Dolphins at one point in time, not too long ago, were one of the best offenses in the NFL.
I sold my Tua stock a couple of years ago. I think he was trending toward getting delisted on the NASDAQ and just had to get out before the bottom. One other quick note, negative note, Shamar Stewart, second year defensive end for the Cincinnati Bengals, first round pick in 2025, carted off the field at practice with what I'm told is a gruesome injury. The video is out there if you want to watch it on social media. I do not watch these videos, Brandon. Every now and then I watch one on accident. Yep. Anytime it's like gruesome, do not watch. I'm not clicking it. So I personally have not seen the injury, but based on what I've read, based on what I've been told, it looks like this could be a very serious one for Shamar Stewart.
Well, this one I did watch. I don't like it, but I think my fascination takes over, and you would be right to sit this one out, Nick. I support that decision.
We'll keep talking football when we come back. Our friend Alan Sislowski from rotowire.com joining us on the Progressive Guest Line to talk all things rookies in fantasy football, who to target, who to avoid, give you some baseball updates on the other side as well. Prop points rolling along. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whale and Brandon Kravitz hanging out with you up until 2 p.m. Eastern. Just getting started here on VSiN. We do have a whole slew of day games in Major League Baseball, including Phillies Marlins. Marlins have taken the first two games of that series. We're in the top of the fifth right now down in Miami. It's currently 4-0 Phillies. The other games in action, all 0-0, those being Diamondbacks, Pirates, Blue Jays, Nats, Braves, Mets, and O's Tigers. Could be the final start in a Tigers uniform for Tarik Skubal, still in the top of the first in that battle. We're bringing in our friend Alan Sislowski, one of our favorite guests, frequent guest here on Prop Points. He does a lot of work on the NFL for us over at rotowire.com. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at Alan_Sislowski. And he, of course, stops by via the Progressive Guest Line. Alan, you have been kind enough to allow us to pepper you with rookie fantasy football questions. And I know you have a list of rookies you're targeting, a list of rookies you're avoiding. I want to start with a player who's on that avoid list, and it's Carnell Tate, who you have to take right now somewhere in that late fourth, early fifth round range. I think there's some level of optimism in this Titans offense looking better than it did last season. But what is keeping you away from Carnell Tate?
First of all, I object to the introduction of one of your favorite guests. I want the favorite guest. I'm endeavoring to be your favorite guest here. Now, I mean, as a general philosophy in fantasy football, I am drafting rookie running backs and I'm avoiding rookie wide receivers. Now, that doesn't mean always. And generally, who Carnell Tate was the first wide receiver selected in the real NFL draft. Many times we'll see that player get overpriced in fantasy football. Just think back a few years ago to Marvin Harrison. Before he even took a snap, he was a first-round fantasy football pick. big mistake. I mean, these guys have to learn the NFL. Now, surprisingly, or I guess fantasy players are just getting smarter and smarter every year, especially ones that watch this network. And Carnell Tate is priced as a fifth round selection. So that kind of takes a lot of the risk out of it. Although, there's going to be a ramp up period. And when you take a receiver like Carnell Tate in the fifth round, it's about the opportunity cost. I mean, unless he's like an all timer that pops right away, I mean, that would be the outlier case for him. Right now, it's like I tend to draft boring veterans. So in that range, you can get Devontae Adams. You can get Roma Dunze. You can get even running backs like Quinshon Judkins. I mean, it all is a structural issue there. And kind of a hot take slash not a hot take is on the Tennessee Titans, Brian Daboll, now the new offensive coordinator, guys. I mean, he brings over Wandell Robinson. Why wouldn't he be the guy who leads the team in receptions there? I'm not saying Carnell Tate won't be a good player, but a good fantasy player right away, which is what you need him to be if you draft him in the fifth round, I'm out.
When I think Alan Sizlowski, the advice of avoid injury optimism going into your fantasy drafts, that's what rings in my head. When I see your face, I think that immediately, and yet I look at your list and I see Jordan Tyson on your, hey, this is a rookie to draft list. I'm worried about the hamstring. So why are we going against the grain with your basic philosophy?
Yeah, I love that you highlighted that, because that is like injury. Anyone who's played fantasy football once, nonetheless, 25 times or 30 times, knows that injuries will find you in fantasy football. Don't go hunting for them, right? Unless the appropriate discount is applied. Jordan Tyson on the New Orleans Saints, who I think a lot of people really do like their offense. I do. I like what I saw there. They do have a new offensive system, but the players are intact. Jordan Tyson, I think if it wasn't for the injuries history, he might probably be a fourth or fifth round pick like Carnell Tate. He's a top 12 real drafted NFL receiver. So, I mean, the upside is there in an offense we like. His ADP right now is around 70, which is the 35th wide receiver off the board. So you are right to call me out that I don't like injured players. But when they're discounted the appropriate amount, I want to get them out of that dented can bin. I don't want to pay full retail on the top shelf. That's why, Brandon.
Folks, while we're talking fantasy football, just a reminder, the NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away. I think we're, 8 days out from the Hall of Fame game next week. This is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next week. You'll get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, division races, and player props. Then on August 3rd, you'll get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from your favorite VSiN experts. You'll also get the Fantasy Life fantasy football guide featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Get full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl with daily best bets, real-time betting, AI-powered prop projections, and, of course, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app before the price goes up on August 1st. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Make sure you're taking advantage of that football special. Again, just $175. Price is going up just a few days from now. Alan Sizlowski from RotoWire joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, giving us some rookie fantasy football advice. Alan, we've talked about Carnell Tate. We've talked about Jordan Tyson. Let's hit some running backs. And let's start at the top. Jeremiah Love, I think pretty clearly the most exciting rookie fantasy prospect in this class. We could quibble about the landing spots. We know the schedule is really difficult for Arizona. We don't necessarily love what Nathaniel Hackett has said about that backfield so far. Nevertheless, you are in on Jeremiah Love at cost.
I mean, how often do we see a rookie running back drafted in at number 3 overall? The draft pedigree's there, and you could argue if it's a good pick or a bad pick, it's probably not a great pick in the real NFL terms. But that said, the Arizona offense, I mean, how bad they're going to feed this guy the ball. Now, maybe there's a little bit of a slow start. I know that there's some other pieces there that they paid Tyler Algier. He's been a goal line vulture for Bijan Robinson in his early days. And then, of course, James Conner, the veteran, is still there. But, man, you don't spend that high of a pick to just sit the guy there, right? I mean, like running backs generally have the peak of their career in the first 3 to 4 years, especially year one. They only get worse, whereas receivers may take a little bit of time. So rookie running backs normally with this type of pedigree, think back to Zeke Elliott, think back to Saquon Barkley. These guys are like locked and loaded first round fantasy football picks. Even Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right, who went in the first round and was overdrafted in the top five his year. Usually we pay a first round pick. Jeremiah Love is falling because of all the FUD out there, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And right now you get him around pick 30, which is the middle of the third round on that 1-2 turn. So if you pick first in your draft and say you take, you know, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Ja'Marr Chase, I like coming around and getting Jeremiah on that 2-3 turn. There is only upside with him. He's one of the better prospects we've seen in the last 5 to 8 years. And why not bet on that upside? He's not going to bust at that price. I just think that upside wins championships, and you got to run into that doubt a little bit as he's falling, falling, falling.
Let's go from an Arizona Cardinal to a Louisville Cardinal. Chris Bell, third round pick out of Louisville for the Miami Dolphins, who I think I could start at slot receiver for them the way that this offense is built. He's got a chance as much as anybody to be the number one option in a rebuilt offense. Are you buying or selling Chris Bell as a late round sleeper?
I'm selling, but here's the both sides of the coin a little bit. I mean, his price is about after pick 200 in drafts, meaning he's wide receiver 87. You don't even need to draft him in most leagues. He'll be out there on the waiver wire. And the reason is, Brandon, because you know that he got hurt in his college season. He may start off the year on the physically unable to perform list. And if he does start, he's going to take he's probably going to miss some camp time. The talent is there, probably would have been a second round real NFL pick had he not been hurt. And I think it was around November. And I agree, down the road, if you're playing like a keeper league or a dynasty league in fantasy football, he's a great asset to own. But in redraft, I mean, it's just a wasted pick. If you take him late in your draft, and although you love the talent that you saw on that college tape, Brandon, it's like you're going to end up dropping him by week two to pick up the hot waiver wire asset. So don't even waste a pick there. Speculate on like a running back late in your draft that could have some upside if there's an injury.
About a minute left, Alan. Somewhat of a similar situation looking at Antonio Williams with the Washington Commanders, obviously outside of Terry McLaurin. Not a whole lot of proven assets in that pass catching room. Is he a late round rookie receiver you're interested in?
Yes, because it's going to be pretty easy to drop him if it doesn't work out right away. Antonio Williams, the best thing you could say about him is that there's no second wide receiver target there after Terry McLaurin. They have the tight end Chigakonkwo, but they haven't signed a veteran. Now, if they sign a shifty veteran, you know, a Keenan Allen type, someone that could, you know, take up targets, then I'll change my mind. But where you're taking him at wide receiver 65, I think there's only upside. And if he doesn't get any targets in week one or week two, you could just throw him out, pick up somebody else on the waiver wire. It's a smart buy.
Great stuff, as always, from our guy, our favorite guest, our singular favorite guest here on Prop Points, Alan Soslowski. You can find all of his great work over at rotowire.com. Make sure you check out the Rotowire YouTube channel as well. Alan has a heavy hand in building that thing up as we get closer and closer to week one. And again, check him out on Twitter on X at Alan_Soslowski. We'll give you a baseball update when we come back. Got some runs on the board in Miami. We got some runs on the board in Pittsburgh. And it's time to preview the Rocket Classic with a friend, Len Hochberg. Double guest Wednesday here on Prop Points. PGA Tour talk coming your way when we return. You're watching the Sports Betting Network.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Brandon Kravitz back with you. It's Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Quick scoreboard update in Major League Baseball. We have 5 games currently ongoing. Philadelphia Phillies jumping out to a 6-1 lead down in Miami. Marlins did just put their first run on the board. That was Otto Lopez grounding out, but still putting an RBI up. Bryce Harper has an RBI triple. Trey Turner has a home run. So 6-1 Phillies after dropping the first 2 games of that series. D-backs out to a 2-0 lead over the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's thanks to a Gabriel Moreno home run. And we are sitting 0-0 between the Blue Jays and Nats. 0-0 between the Braves and the Mets, 0-0 between the O's and the Tigers, all of those games currently in the second inning. We're head back out to the Progressive guest line to bring in our friend Len Hochberg, our golf betting and DFS expert at rotowire.com, at Len Hochberg on Twitter. Len, welcome back to the show. As always, I will first point all of our viewers, all of our listeners to Len's excellent tournament previews, which he writes every week over at rotowire.com. And Len, a lot to unpack from, you know, what is typically not a premier event on tour, but I know you wrote in your article, quote, "This is the best field in the history of the Rocket Classic." There may be a few reasons for that. So why exactly did we get such a loaded field this week?
Yeah, Nick, great question and great to be with you guys. Thank you for having me. Yeah, you know, it's really extends all the way to what we will see in 2028. The changes for the PGA Tour in 2028, I think we can connect the dots to this, to the end of the 2026 season. I'll try and be brief. 2028, Brian Rolapp, PGA Tour CEO, announced there will be a two-track system, Championship Series, Challenger Series. Top 120 or so guys in the Championship Series. Well, how will they get there? By playing well in 2027. That's how you get to the Championship Series in 2028. Well, what's a good way to be in the top 120 in 2027? Play in all the signature events. What's a good way to be in all the signature events in 2027? Finish in the top 50 in 2026, where we are now. So I think guys are already projecting to 2028 by what we're seeing right now.
That's awesome that it's already having that sort of impact on the golf world, which means the PGA Tour is absolutely doing the right thing by creating the Challenger Series. I want to talk about Jackson Koivun. Is this somebody who you expect to see at the top of leaderboards for years to come, or was it more fluky than anything in what he was able to accomplish at the 3M Open? He's 23-1 in the outright market at the Rocket Mortgage tournament. It seems a little expensive for a 21-year-old that just won his first tournament, but is this a long-term thing with him?
It sure looks like it, Brandon. I mean, you know, there aren't too many guys whose age is younger or is less than their odds. 21 years old, 23-1, but he's done it. He appears, by all accounts, to be a very special player, one of the greatest amateurs in the last 15, 20 years. Data Golf, the site that tracks this sort of thing, has him as the best amateur, better than Rahm was, better than Spieth was, better than Morikawa was, and he certainly showed it last week. I mean, he did not give anyone an opening. He had a big lead, and we've seen so many guys get into Sunday and the nerves hit and they bogey like two of the first three holes and somebody birdies, and therefore there your four shot lead is gone. That never happened with him. And now there's a big cry for him to be on the President's Cup team in September. That could very well happen. I think he's real. And as long as he doesn't let the job, the thing go to his head, I think he seems very level-headed. I think he is the real deal.
Folks, the Circus Survivor documentary is back and bigger than ever. $18.7 million on the line, plus a new Grandissimo format, raising the stakes. Episode 2 airs tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can watch every agonizing moment from opening weekend, plus the early winners, losers, and storylines shaping the season. If you missed episode 1, you can catch up over on YouTube right now. Just search VSiN Live. Whether you play Circus Survivor or you just love the drama, you will not want to miss this series. Check out new episodes every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN. Len Hochberg joining us on the Progressive guest line, our PGA betting and DFS expert over at RotoWire. Let's get into some plays for the weekend, Len. Cameron Young is the favorite to win the tournament outright, plus 970 at this moment over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. He's going to cost you 10.5 over on DraftKings. Are you willing to pay up?
I think so, Nick. You know, we're not in the 13,000-14,000 Scottie Scheffler range here. You know, we can get a guy in the tens, even in the upper tens here, and still field a representative lineup. Cameron Young, showed last time out at the Open Championship that his little mini funk is over, and he was right there at the finish, and just Ryan Fox beat him out to win the Open Championship. But this course projects very nicely for Cameron Young now with the changes they've made. They made it a tougher track, not quite the birdie fest. Driving really important, hit it far, hit it straight. That's the strength of Cameron Young's game. I like him a lot better than the other 10,000. Xander Schauffele, who very quietly has not had a good second half to the season, has not had a top 10 since the PGA Championship.
Ricky Fowler doesn't win very much, but he is the pitch man for Rocket Mortgage. Maybe this event means a little bit more. Maybe there's some comfort that lies within that. Is there any angle that can get us to the window on a rare Ricky Fowler victory?
Well, I don't see him winning the tournament, but I think you bring up some good points. You know, it is extra important for him this week. He is the sort of the face of this tournament. He's won before here, so we know he can play well here. He's had a very good year. He's really right on the cusp of qualifying the Tour Championship. If the Tour Championship started today, just outside the top 30. So he hasn't really contended, but he's had a strung together a lot of good weeks to get him in position. I expect him to get to the weekend, and the crowd will certainly be on his side. There's a pathway to see him to be a good part of your lineup, absolutely.
So, Len, with the way you're looking at constructing your lineups, like you said, you don't have to pay up for a $13,000, $14,000 player. There is a case to be stacking some of the bigger names at the top of the list. So we've locked in Cam Young at 10-5. If we dip a little bit lower into the 9,000s, I know you have a couple names who stood out to you.
Yeah, Siwoo Kim and Wyndham Clark. Siwoo Kim having his best season. We've talked about him many weeks. He's just incredible. And he's doing it while ranked outside the top 100 in putting. You know how hard that is to do, to finish top 10 week after week after week if you can't putt? But that's how good his iron play is. That's how good his ball striking is. He did it again at the Open Championship. He was on the leaderboard there. So just looking for him to continue to play well. And it's hard to believe he doesn't have a win yet. Could happen at any time. The guy I like most of all, Wyndham Clark, not only has he been playing great, yes, he missed the cut at the Open Championship, but everybody is missing cuts at some point, even Scottie Scheffler now. But he's way down in the low nines, 9,300. Really comes out very high in my model this week. He's playing very well. I do like him as well, too. And these two guys in the nines, even better than Cam Young, can fit into any situation if you want to craft a lineup.
I'm glad that you mentioned Siwoo Kim. He is the player that I made my weekly golf donation on. So we'll see that, I'm sure, go up in flames any day now. But if we go to a more general look, if we're taking the wide view, what are the key stats that we need to be looking for in Detroit, and who fits the bill best in terms of those key statistics that you're looking for in this golf tournament?
You know, it's interesting, Brandon. This course has changed significantly since last year. They've undergone a major renovation. They turned the two easiest holes on the course, number 7 and 17, short par fives into long par fours. So the winning score was in the mid-20s. It now could be in the teens. They've done work on the bunkers. They've added bunkers. They've deepened the bunkers. We all expect the score to be less this week, much more of a ball strikers course this week than a birdie fest. And to your point, that goes to Siwoo Kim's strength right there.
Len Hochberg, everybody, providing us excellent PGA Tour insight week in and week out. Highly, highly encourage you to check out his Rocket Classic preview. He previews each and every tournament for us over at rotowire.com. The best in the business when it comes to golf handicapping, and especially giving you some DFS plays. Len, as always, best of luck this weekend. We look forward to checking in with you again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Len Hochberg, again, check him out at rotowire.com. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, on X, at Len Hochberg. We got a couple more runs on the board for the Miami Marlins. Now 6-3 in favor of the Phillies. We're in the bottom of the sixth, and that one still 2-0 Diamondbacks over the Pirates. Our other three in-progress baseball games still knotted up at 0-0. We get ahead to break. When we come back, Brandon Kravitz is going to reveal his favorite NFL win totals for the 2026 season. Keep it here. You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz hanging out with you up until the top of the hour. JVT, Stormy Bond, and Tony coming your way next. Money Moves starting up at 2 p.m. Eastern. Brandon, we want to wrap the show putting you under the gun a little bit here, giving us your favorite NFL win totals for the season. And I kind of thought, like, okay, maybe Brandon will have two or three that he really likes. No, you have emptied the clip. I believe we have six win totals we'll try to get through in the next 10 minutes or so. And we'll start over in the AFC North, where a couple of your plays lie, Brandon, including the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're looking at the under 8.5, which you could grab right now at minus 120.
So when did the schedules come out again? Was that May? I think that was, I tell myself I'm going to slow play the win totals. You don't want to just bet immediately on arrival of the schedules, Nick, but with a lot of time has passed. So that's where you said that I emptied the clip. This has been a slow build for me to get to this point. Okay. This was not overnight. I'll be very clear.
Okay.
But the Steelers, I mean, this just feels like the throwback that nobody was asking for. Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy doesn't move the needle for me. I thought Rodgers was a bottom tier quarterback last year with a top tier name. Mike McCarthy's system doesn't wow me. Neither does the talent on the roster. They're old. I tend to not want to bet overs on old teams in the NFL. Second oldest roster in the NFL behind the Washington Commanders. They're not dynamic offensively. The defense doesn't scare you anymore. TJ Watt's sack production fell off a cliff last year. They can't withstand that with their defense. And the division is tough at the top. Ravens twice, Bengals twice is a tough ask. Going into Cleveland, no matter their form, is always difficult for any opponent. The Tomlin magic is over. I think we finally get a losing season from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, there we have it. Steelers under 8.5. Brandon, we get the same number for the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you like the over 8.5, though, you're at least getting plus money here at plus 110. And we've started to see a little bit of a gap opening up in the betting markets for the AFC South with Houston kind of becoming the proverbial favorite. Now, the Jags, of course, did win this division last year, but we saw two very different versions of this Jags team, first half versus second half.
The Jags overachieved last year. So I think that you have some people that are looking at that and saying, okay, well, I'm going to run in the opposite direction. And as you mentioned, the Texans are becoming the betting darling, not just in the AFC South, but in the AFC, because we fall in love with that defense as we should. But just focusing on the Jags for a moment, I feel like a lot of folks look at their schedule from last year and they're going to say that they won as many games as they did because of the opponents that they faced. Their final eight games of the season, they faced some of the biggest cupcakes in the NFL along the way. But I'm not asking them to win 13 games. I'm asking them to go over 8.5. This is a really good football team that did most of their damage last year without Travis Hunter in the lineup. He's essentially a free agent acquisition when you consider what little impact he had on the team last year. He had one really dominant game before he got hurt. And then they hit their stride right after the bye week, and he was no longer a part of the team at that point. Strength of schedules, middle of the road. You always want to look at that when you're betting these NFL win totals. Division is very winnable. I like them better than the Colts. I like them better than the Titans. So that's a good place to start as well. And Nick, they start the season with a free dub, the Cleveland Browns. So we get a freebie to open the season. That's another thing I like to look at. If I'm betting into a win total and I'm betting an over, I want to start 1-0. Conversely, if I'm betting an under, I'm trying to get off to a slow start. So that's something to look at, because you can always bet this live in the moment. If you feel like a team is going to win in week one, You don't need to rush and bet they're under.
Very similar situation to last year where the Jags opened up with Carolina at home. That was my survivor pick in every single pool. I think I'm going to have a lot of Jags week one against Cleveland. The problem, though, Brandon, is after that Browns game, these are their next seven opponents. Broncos, Patriots, Bengals, Eagles, Texans, Colts, and then at the Baltimore Ravens. So I think we're going to learn a lot about this Jaguars team over the first couple of months of the season. I'm not going to overreact to whatever happens in week one against Cleveland. Quick news item, by the way, to pass along. Ian Rappaport just reported Brian Bresee, defensive tackle for the Saints, feared to have a torn ACL. So looking likely that the Saints will be without one of their best interior players for the duration of the season. Let's go. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns. Brandon, you like the under 6.5 wins at minus 120. You locked it in at a great price because it's down to 5.5 now at most markets. I am completely with you on this one. I know Kevin Stefanski maybe felt like he wore out his welcome by the end of last season. I think there are very few coaches who could have produced the results that he did with those rosters, with those quarterbacks over the last few years. How many games do the Browns win? Is this one that you just instantaneously locked in when you saw the 6.5?
There are very few that I like. I think the only one that was instantaneous for me was the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everything else took a good bit of time and analysis in order for it to marinate properly. But the trade of Myles Garrett is what sent me over the top. That is not a guy that's easily replaced. I like Jared Verse, but he's not Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett is the best sack master in the NFL. And you just don't get better when you trade players like that away. There was also, and this was part of the reason why I had already bet this, I thought they were going to trade Denzel Ward too. Now, obviously, that did not happen, so I didn't get ahead of the market in that respect, in terms of what I was forecasting the rest of the lead up to the season to look like. But the market, in terms of the betting market, still agrees with me. Their depth at corner outside of Denzel Ward is problematic. He's dealt with concussion issues in his career. He's got 6 documented concussions. So if he goes down, that secondary withers away too. The defensive line already takes a hit with Myles Garrett out. And does anybody believe in this quarterback position? And the offensive line, which used to be the calling card of the Cleveland Browns during that Kevin Stefanski era, that's a giant question mark now as well. So I will sell on the Cleveland Browns.
So Brandon, I know you're looking at the over 9.5 for the Dallas Cowboys, getting a nice little plus 115 on that. I'm curious what you think the ceiling is for this Cowboys team. Like, if you like the over 9.5, are you considering Dallas plus 235 to win the NFC East?
I actually am glad that you brought that up, because that bet I actually like more than the win total itself. There's a lot that can go wrong with these win totals. Sometimes divisions get so wonky that a team can win the division and then go under their win total projection. I think it's a case by case basis for every team, but the plus 235 to win the NFC East would be my favorite play for the Dallas Cowboys. I have already booked that one. Rarely do you get value on the Dallas Cowboys at a sports book, but I think that there's enough bloom off of the rose for this franchise that hasn't been to the postseason since 2023, that there's actually a little bit of an opportunity to buy the most popular team in the NFL. Dak proved once again that he's one of the elites in the NFL. Their offense was second only to the LA Rams in terms of points, yards, and efficiency. Defense was their issue. Well, they've added a wave of talent in the last year. Rashawn Gary, Quinnen Williams. They fortified the edge with Malachi Lawrence in the draft. I love Caleb Downs, pound for pound my favorite player in this year's draft class. This team is loaded with talent, and we get a different NFC East champion every year anyway. The Eagles aren't winning this thing 3 years in a row. I think the plus 235 for Dallas to win the division is, it might be my favorite offseason bet, in fact.
Before we get to our best bets of the night, real quickly, Brandon, give me the sell on why you were taking the under 9.5 for the Chicago Bears.
So they lost their starting center in Drew Dolman to retirement. That is not something that should be overlooked. They are scrambling to replace him, and that is huge. They were number one in the NFL in terms of turnover differential. That is near impossible to replicate, and the division is tremendously difficult. I'm like you, I'm buying stock in the Minnesota Vikings. The Lions should be elite once again, and the Packers are, I'm not high on the Packers, but they're as steady as they come with elite quarterback play. I think the Bears, it's just simply my number one regression candidate. I like them, but I think there's real value on the under at 9.5.
Fewest turnovers committed, most turnovers forced last season, plus 22 on that turnover differential for the Bears. Let's leave with our best bets of the night, Brandon. We are both going to the Major League Baseball slate. What do you got?
I'm going to go with the under 8.5 runs for Rockies Padres. We just found out who the Padres are throwing out there, Kyle Hart. So it's going to be a bullpen game for them. Both teams rank bottom 10 in terms of WRC plus. So this was a series that was on my radar for unders to begin with. But Gabriel Hughes has been really impressive on the mound for Colorado. So I'll look for another solid start from him.
Well, coming off of a night where I took the over in a game that finished 1-0, we are knee-jerk reacting to the under 7.5 in Yankees White Sox. Should be a fun pitching matchup. Cam Schlittler taking on Davis Martin, -109 over at DraftKings. Money moves. Stormy Bonatoni, Jonathan Von Tobel coming your way next. Keep it locked. You're watching VSiN.